number 3, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now you're reading the Old Testament. What kind of a God do we have in the Old Testament? A merciful God. He is a merciful God. You are reading the Old Testament, and Jonah is told to go and preach to the Ninevites, and they are Gentiles. God loves the world. He loved the Gentiles. He wanted the message to impact upon them. Therefore, he had a man to take that message called Jonah. So we find this is very interesting as we look at the book of Jonah. There is so much in this little book. There is the call of God upon the servant of God, Jonah. There is the message of God that he has to take to the people. There is a boat going in the wrong direction. There is a Hebrew not doing what he should have been doing. We see that there is a fish prepared of the Lord. Now, I had fish and chips the other night, but I can assure you this fishy ain't nothing like the one you get at the fish and chip shop, amen? Now, this is a very large animal indeed, a very large animal. So there is an amazing animal prepared of the Lord to do the will of God. There is amazing prayer in this little book. The prayer of Jonah for God's deliverance upon him. The prayer of the mariners for God's deliverance upon them. And we find also there is the prayer of repentance of the Ninevites who called out to God for his mercy and grace upon them, covered themselves with sackcloth and ashes, and repented of their wickedness and sin. What a day that was, amen? Wouldn't it be amazing if it happened again these days, there was a great revival and people repented of their sins and turned to the Lord and sin was out of the picture? But it's not going to happen. The Lord is going to return. There was one ungodly fellow interviewed on a program, and he said there's no such thing as sin. No such thing as sin, because there is no God, there is no such thing as sin. What a presumption, amen? What a presumption. The fact is there is sin, and the fact is that there is a great and mighty God who forgives the repentant sinner who would turn unto him. And so this wonderful book teaches repentance. Except ye repent, said Jesus, ye shall all likewise perish. And repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind. This little book also refutes a very modern heresy, the modern heresy of Calvinism. This little book refutes that, because Calvinism teaches that God set up a plan right when he made the world. He set up a predetermined, predestinated plan, and that's it. The plan's in place, and everything that God would do is according to the plan. And if you're not in his plan for the elect, well then you're unelect and there's nothing you can do about it. Again, that's not biblical, is it? We find that is refuted, because it says that God repented. God changed his mind. God was in touch with the needs of men and women. God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God repented from the evil which he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. So we see a merciful God who is able to respond to these folk in love and grace and bring forgiveness to them. Another thing you need to know about this little book of Jonah. There are a number of different destinations described in the book. The first one is Nineveh. Okay, so Brother Blue over here, you're Nineveh, okay? You can be over here. All right, you're Nineveh. Would you just stand right there? Here's Nineveh, amen? All right, and I don't know whether I should do this to Brother Buddy or not. You're Tarshish. So you've got to go through that wall and as far that way as you can possibly. No, over there by the Goanna, by the piano, all right? He's Tarshish, okay? And, I can be Joppa, because it's a nice seaport by the ocean, okay? All right? And Jonah grew up not far from Joppa, which is the modern seaport in Israel of Jaffa. And Jonah grew up in an area of Nazareth, not too far from there. And so he grew up and he was called upon to go where? To the man in blue, amen? To Nineveh over there. He was called upon to go to Nineveh. But something went wrong. Look at verse number 2. But Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord unto Tarshish. Got the verse around the wrong way there. To flee unto Tarshish. So Jonah got a bee in his bonnet, as they say in the classics. And he was not happy to be going to the Assyrians. He didn't like them. He was prejudiced against them. He was racist in a sense, but also he was annoyed that they had been so aggressive towards God's people, and he had the idea that if he went and preached to them, God would mercifully forgive them and save them, and he wasn't happy about God's plan. Ever get into a situation where you're not happy with God's plan? Oftentimes the old flesh gets in the way, amen? So Jonah, he decided, well, I don't like these people. God wanted me to take a trip, so I'll take a trip. I will cruise the Mediterranean. I'll take a cruise to Tarshish, which is in where? Come on, you're a Bible college student.
The wrong side.
The west of the Mediterranean. I don't know how this all works out with you, but anyway, it is in the west of the Mediterranean. As far west as, do you know? Spain, modern Spain. Now then, I think the gentleman can sit down. Okay. Better get him sitting down before the storm hits, amen? Yeah. Anyway, here we find then this scenario that Jonah is not happy about going to these people. Jonah is upset. Ever been there? He's upset and unhappy. He's one of those horse Christians, long in the mouth. Okay. Ever get your emotions in the way of doing God's will? Ever get angry about what God wants? Or what God might do, even the mercy of God? Ever get upset with your enemies? And want to judge them and deal harshly with them? And the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. So Jonah was not happy. He was not happy with God's plan. And he became mildly angry in this particular part of the book of Jonah. In the fourth chapter, we see him very angry. Okay? That's one of my prayers. Lord, keep me from being a grumpy, angry old man. Okay? There's too many of them already. Okay? Anyway. Yes, emotions can easily get in the way. And they can work very deeply. You see, we find in verse 1 the call of God came on his life. And God told him what to do and where to go. God gave him the message. We see that he was walking in the presence of the Lord, because verse 3 tells us that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He had been walking with God. He had been in wonderful fellowship with the Lord. He believed that God was a merciful and a great God. He was a true Hebrew and sought to worship the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so, all those things being true, Jonah was upset. And Jonah was not happy with God's plan. And Jonah, well, since it was travelling time, I think I'll take a trip. I think I'll do a cruise. And I will cruise the Mediterranean. Scholars tell us that if Jonah had gotten on this boat to go to Tarshish, it was about a 2-year trip all up, all around. Jonah was definitely going in the wrong direction. Are you going in the wrong direction in your life? You hang around with the wrong kind of people, the people that are not the Lord's? Is your lifestyle pleasing to the living God? Or is it out of the presence of God, out of fellowship with God? You've wandered away from God. As that prodigal that Jesus described in the Word of God, he wandered away from the Lord. But God was merciful when he got to the bottom of things and he turned and cried out in repentance to the Lord. The Lord met him. So it was that Jonah had a very convenient situation. Down to the port he went, and there just happened to be a boat. He had ignored the message of God and the call of God, and now in rebellion he was going in the opposite direction. He fled from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. Always a move away from God is a move down. Amen? It is never a move up to walk away from the Lord, to leave off following the Lord and to get out of the will of God. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship. He paid the fare, it says. He went down in the ship. He decided to go with them. He now wanted to go to Tarshish. He went the wrong way, and he had peace about the trip. Hear me out. He had peace about the trip. Otherwise he wouldn't have got on board the boat, gone down to his room and fallen asleep. Be careful when you run your life according to your feelings of peace. Peace, peace where there is no peace. When you're out of the will of God, you can justify things. You can get a seared conscience, the Bible says, and justify things according to your feelings and your ways. And I think this had happened to Jonah. Why, he felt so comfortable about getting on board the ship. But the sad thing is, as much as he went for his comforts, he caused a very uncomfortable crisis and situation to arise for the ship owner, the captain, the mariners, and all that were involved with that vessel. His stepping out of the will of God put many others out of position as well, and caused God's judgment in a sense to fall upon them. That God delivered them mercifully, we see this. We see that Jonah had told them. Imagine this. What sort of testimony was Jonah out of the will of God? Jonah had chatted with the mariners, the sailors, and he told them, well, he's run away from God. And he told them that he was in a mess. Verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and the people that thou art from? So he had told them about where he was going, but he hadn't told them the whole story. And so here, be sure your sins will find you out. Jonah tells us very clearly that when a believer gets out of the will of God, God will pursue that believer. God wants that believer to come back and to walk in fellowship. And we see this was part of Jonah's spiritual growth. He got out of the will of God, and then he went down into the fish and had a terrible time until he called upon the Lord and he got right with God. Here we find also there is not a great distance between the call of God in the heart of the believer and the will of God in the heart of the believer. There is not a great distance between that and between going the opposite direction. In fact, I have noticed over the years that when God begins to work in somebody's life, God begins to do a work, maybe calling them to Bible college or the mission field or some other thing, he begins to work upon them. I have noticed that the devil decides at his opportunity to attack as well and to bring along temptation and try and ruin the situation for that believer. And so we need to be careful. Say, well, I'm walking with the Lord. How could this be? The devil attacks those that are close to the Lord. He attacks those that are wanting to serve God and do the will of God. He doesn't bother with people that are careless and thoughtless about his will and his work. It is those that are seeking to do his work that the devil attacks most and that causes the most discomfort. And the challenge and call is for those believers to walk close to the Lord and to follow him and to do his will. So we find that Jonah gets on board this boat. He's going in the wrong direction, but the Lord. And I think you should notice that in this little book, the transitions, and this is almost like a play that has been written with the different scenes, and these things are introduced often with a but or a then. So be careful for that, okay? And speak properly. Don't be like the Queenslanders. Did you have a good day, but? Okay? Amen? But God loves to use his children and to lead them. A great wind came. We see the sovereign hand of God moving in the life of Jonah and it affecting others. The wind came, the tempest stirred up, the ship was like to be broken. Mariners were afraid. They cried out unto their God. So we find that there are people from different nations that made up the mariners who had different gods. But in the end, they turn to the living God and cry out to him for his mercy upon them and to deliver them. And so it is that the mariners were very afraid. This is a serious storm. They begin to wonder what is wrong. They cast out overboard all of the gear that they had in the boat. Their cargo begins to get tossed overboard. And the mariners were afraid. They called upon God. The shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Now, I don't think the ship captain, the shipmaster said, "Hey, mate, what are you doing when you're sleeping?" I think he was a bit more serious about it, don't you? Just like we ought to be with our Christianity. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be, he will think upon us that we perish not. This is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Remember our Lord? He was asleep in the vessel in the storm. They roused him, he awoke, rebuked the storm, and they continued on their way. But this is not the Lord. This is a sleeping believer. Well, I need to take a trip. Well, I'm so tired, I need the rest. Oh, I need sleep. Let me sleep. So here we find a depressed believer who's overcome with his own desires and who just wants to sleep. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. We had a good sermon on that Wednesday, I think. Wednesday or Sunday, about the sleepy believers. Don't sleep. Be wide awake, looking to the Lord. Be on guard. Be ready to serve. So it was that they stirred him up and they got to the bottom of the problem. They realized what the problem was. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because they told him, he told them. What were they going to do in this situation? So this sleepy prophet, this disobedient sleepy prophet, is heading in the wrong direction. His emotions are all messed up. What are we going to do with you? Throw me overboard. I'm no good for anything, just a bag of potatoes. You know, throw me overboard. That's all. Get rid of me. Had enough of all this. I just want to get out of this situation, out of this problem. Throw me overboard. This was a suicidal mentality. Oh, be careful, dear believer, when you start to get discouraged with things and just want to sleep away and while away your time, not serving the Lord. And when you feel down and so on, you've made a mistake, you have sinned, you've done wrong. Don't give up. Don't give up. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Don't give up. Don't wish that you were just thrown overboard and your life wasted away in that regard. Well, there was no other alternative with Jonah. So they did throw him overboard at his request. But the intervention of God, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, chapter 1:17, to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The dogfish was found in the Mediterranean with a soldier in full armour inside. He's a big fish. Now, when the Lord described this, the Lord described Jonah and him being 3 days and three nights in the belly there, in the lower part of the earth, as it were. The Lord described that. He used the word that the Jews would often use for a sea monster. It was a very large fish. It's not that long ago on the planet that there were very large sea creatures, and we don't even know everything. It's in the ocean lately. Every now and again there's something found for the first time. It's quite huge, and it's the ability to go down further and find those things. So it was that this was prepared of the Lord. Prepared of the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God had prepared this fish for the deliverance of his prophet. God is merciful. He is able to deliver.
And if he wants to send along a fish to do so, he will. He's a miracle-working God. I don't think that this required much of a miracle, knowing how large these sea creatures are. But if you want a miracle at this point, then God did a miracle and sent along a miracle fish. This creature of nature that was perfectly in the will of God. The wind was in the will of God. The storm was in the will of God. But the prophet of God was out of the will of God. Isn't that sad? That animals are more apt to be in the will of God than humans. Sometimes we behave worse than donkeys. I don't know much about donkeys, but I know they're very stubborn creatures. From one thing, but then again, you can get them to do what you want them to do. You can ride them, and they're great on rough terrain, apparently. A friend of mine, missionary friend of mine, and he went into the villages in South America, some of the villages he had to go into, the best way to get into them was to get on a donkey and get in there on the back of a donkey. A donkey was better than a horse. So you horse people will be able to tell me why that is, amen? Or maybe you think the horse is better, but who knows? That God sent this creature along to take him and to deliver him and to get him in the direction that he should be. Now Jonah prayed to the Lord in the midst of this whale, in the midst of this fish. Some do think of it as a whale. The Bible calls it a fish. So it's a large creature, a large ocean creature. It says that he cried out of the belly of hell. What was the situation with Jonah? Was he dead? Did he actually die down there? He could well have, in order to fulfill the prophecy the Lord gave. Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be that way. But it's not necessary that Jonah does have to die. But I tell you, there is a sense in which Jonah did die. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. God wants us to die to self. Some of these ideas about surrender. I surrender, Lord. I'm really going to do what you say. I am. Are you? Are you? Can you? Well, there has to be surrender and a death to the old nature. Amen. There has to be a death to the old sinful self, the sinful nature. You see, Jonah went down. I tried to imagine what this would be like. And I thought of the idea of an 80-story building with a lift going down, out of control, and Jonah trying to hit the red button or something, but nothing is working, and the thing is going down and down and down. And there's one of those submarines where they're filling up with water and they're out of control, they're going down. That was Jonah's experience. You ever have that dream where you feel like you're going down and down and down and down? Ever have that dream like you're twirling around and going down? No? Some of you? Some of you are willing to admit. You've had a strange dream and you felt like you were falling and you were falling. And then all of a sudden you woke up to yourself and thought, get on with your sleeping. This is not happening. Yeah. But this was very real for Jonah. This is not just a story about Jonah. This is not just a parable about Jonah. This is not a fable about Jonah. Great story for kids, that one, a bit like Noah and the Ark. Yeah. No, this actually happened. This is historical. This happened to the man of God. This was the means whereby God got his attention. Have you worked that out yet? Oh, Pastor, I don't know why I'm having all these problems. I don't know why this is going wrong. I don't know why. Don't ask why, ask what. What, Lord, do you want me to learn? I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Why does God allow sickness and difficulties to come our way? To develop our prayer life. To develop our prayer life so that we would turn to Him and pray. Stop asking why all the time and giving the devil an advantage. Start talking to the Lord in the midst of it. Deal with whatever sin is in the way. Confess your need. Deal with that sin problem, that self problem, that ego problem. Die to self. I am crucified with Christ. Paul says, I die daily. He says the old flesh and the old self-life to be ineffectual and dangerous to the believer. So he dies, he identifies with Christ in his death. And there he sees what Christ has done, and his old nature is put to death at the cross. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thine holy temple. You know, this is so realistic, this particular book of Jonah. I remembered the Lord. Well, but he was a believer, you know. We always remember the Lord, you know. We always remember the Lord, do we? Let's be truthful. Let's be realistic. Sometimes we go days forgetting God, forgetting about His will, forgetting about those that God wants us to reach with the gospel. And so it was that this man finally woke up to himself and cried out unto the Lord. And also, he was sincere in this. He said he would sacrifice unto the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, this is another wonderful proclamation in the book of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He is the God of salvation. He wants to save men and women. And He wants this church to be a saving station and for every one of us to be on the rescue team. For souls to be able to reach out to needy hearts. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah was really impacted by what had happened to him. And he cried out unto the Lord, realizing that God was a God who is able to deliver His children in time of need. Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will hear and deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Many times believers, when they're in problems and they're having difficulties, they don't pray. They're like Jonah. They forget the Lord. But Jonah turned his heart and his attention to the Lord. I see here in Jonah's transformation, he had Jonah's repentance. Jonah's repentance. The message of Jonah starts off that God would save the Ninevites if they would repent. God would deliver Jonah if he would repent. God would deliver Nineveh if they would repent. The message of God is clear. And there is a challenge there, isn't there? Salvation is of the Lord. God is still in the soul-saving business. He is still able to save people. He's still able to deliver and transform people. In one of my trips to the US, I met a guy and he was giving his testimony. He was a mainline heroin addict. And he was now come to his senses. He came from a Christian family. He had fallen into sin. He had gotten completely away. And he realized he was not saved. So he called upon the Lord for salvation. And then he started to try and get help to get away from his addiction. Everybody that he went to in the system around where he was said, you'll never get off this completely. You'll have to go on the meths program or something else. You'll never... This is a life sentence, buddy. You're stuck with it. But he said, well, salvation is of the Lord. He had a brother who was a health professional. And he went and spoke to him about it. And the brother said, look, there's very few cases where people actually get right off this and you're stuck. But he wouldn't accept that. And so he went to the Lord about this and he believed that salvation was of the Lord. He found some believers that believed the same way, amen? Believing believers, amen? Jonah was an unbelieving believer. Hang around with believing believers. It's the only way to go, amen? If you want to keep out of the belly of a fish, you just keep trusting the Lord. I don't like fish stories, you know. You hear about the one that got away and all the rest of it. This is one that didn't get away. Jonah caught this fish, all right, and the fish caught him. There was a real fishing story right there that God moved mightily to deliver his servant. Salvation is of the Lord. Then the Old Testament, salvation is of the Lord. God is going to prove to Jonah this is true. He's going to prove that he is able to save the Ninevites who are non-Jews. And he is going to do this in the Old Testament. I thought the Old Testament was only for the salvation of the Jews. Well, the book of Jonah tells what God was doing in other departments, amen, and how God was moving out and touching the nations. And still, he is able to do that today and touch the nations. He is still able to save men and women. And he still has not rescinded his commission. You see, Jonah had a great commission. You say, I thought the great commission was just for the New Testament. No, you better get that right as well. Jonah had to reach the people. How was he going to reach the people? Well, Jonah, reach the people. You pray and they'll come. You pray and they'll come. Open the church door and they'll come bolting in. It's evangelism. Open the church door and they'll come bolting in. Just be holy enough and you'll be like a magnet that draws people to the Lord. You'll be holy and they'll want to slap you in the face, throw you out, throw you in jail. They don't like holy people. The gay crowd don't like holy people. So you need more than holiness. You need the holiness of God and the power of the Spirit of God and walking in fellowship with God. But you've also got to go to sinners. You've got to go where they are. How can you catch fish in a bathtub? Okay? How can you catch fish in a bathtub? Well, you threw in a few of those little goldfish, poor little souls. I had some goldfish in a little pool out under the pergola. There were so many mozzies out there, I sprayed them with some fly spray. And the next morning, all of my little goldies were dead. I'm no good with pets, I tell you now. Even pet plants don't do so well either. But here, salvation of the Lord is of the Lord, and Jonah was told to go. He was told to go. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Go ye into all the world. He said, I have given them thy word, he said to the Father. He had given them the word, and they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One scholar said that the book of Jonah runs parallel to the book of Acts. Because God got a hold of his man, gave him the message, and he began to preach, and 120,000 people were saved. Does that remind you of Pentecost, where Peter was transformed and got right with God, and God mightily empowered him and used him, and souls were saved? But you've got to go where the people are and reach them. And so it was that Jonah had a great time now here with God and was preparing for what God wanted him to do. And it said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach under it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Well, let's keep it simple, amen? He arose and went to Nineveh. And he got right with God and went to where God wanted to use him. So there is so much for us to learn in the book of Jonah. So many things for us to learn. Let us learn that there is a sovereign God who cares about us. And though you fail, he still loves you. He wants you to come back into fellowship with him. And he is able to forgive you and to mercifully reinstate you and use you. You say, well, I failed and I'm not doing too well and I haven't been able to get back into it. Well, then look to the Almighty God and realize salvation is of the Lord. And that failure is not the end, buddy. That's the beginning of getting right with God and walking in the will of God. Amen? Going in the right direction. You know, as we hear the word of God preached, sometimes we sit back and we just observe. You know, let us not only be observers, but let us be involved in the will and work and plan of God, that we might get involved and that we might discover ourselves the greatness of God and the power of God, so that we can say salvation is of the Lord. You know, Jonah then, he has an experience in chapter 3 and 4 that is amazing. We see the highs and lows of Jonah in chapter 3 and 4. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight. So I want to encourage you to come along tonight as we continue in the book of Jonah and look at these two chapters that also are amazing as we see the Lord working. So Jonah is a life of bad decisions, a life of going in the wrong direction. God deals with him and he gets going in the right direction, we see in his life. Then he starts going in the wrong direction and God deals with him, he goes in the right direction. And then we find that he ends up in chapter 4, sitting out there going nowhere. What a prophet, amen. Even the, you know, we can identify with Jonah. Listen, you and I are so much like Jonah, it's not funny. We are so much like Jonah. I like to preach on Peter as well. And the messes he got himself into, but God's mercy. And God got a hold of Peter and reinstated him and used him yet again. And so forth. We are so much like Peter. Peter's so much like us. And the same with Jonah. We're up and down, in and out. Sometimes we're right on top, we're on fire, and other times we're sitting on our sooky pillow feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, would to God that we would see the greatness and power of God. Amen. And that we would walk with God. In conclusion, chapter 4 and verse 3. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. That's the kind of God that we have. Even more so through the mercy of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, able to forgive. Salvation is of the Lord. You've sinned, he's able to forgive. He's gracious. He doesn't just cast us aside as a believer. He wants to get a hold of us and use us. He's merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. And he's a God who repents. You get right with God and he gets right with you. Simple as that. Repentance is so important for the believer. So important for the unbeliever, but also for the believer. Get right with God is the challenge of Jonah. Get right with God and stay right with God. And go at God's bidding and take the message of God to the needy ones around. May God bless us as we do that. And as we tell them of the graciousness and mercy of our great God in Jesus Christ. Jesus loved us. He gave himself for us. in mercy and love. And he reaches out from the cross, calling sinners to come unto him, calling believers to come home, to come back, so that they might walk with him and be used in the work that he has. Let's bow in prayer.